and now evangelist David Shannon.
So we'll open your Bibles to 1 Timothy, the third chapter. 1 Timothy, the third chapter. Paul writes to Timothy, "Timothy, I want you to stay in Ephesus in the first chapter." Paul knows Timothy would rather come with him. But he says, "You stay there." And at the end of the first chapter, he said, I charge you to war a good warfare. And that's the way he introduced his books to Timothy. Then he says, now here's the things you need to do to build the proper church there at Ephesus. The first thing you need to do is you need to make sure those people are praying. First of all, with prayers and supplications, he said. After he talked with them about prayers, he said, the second thing you need to make sure is that you have women that are beautiful on the inside, godly women, and that their works will be showing on the outside their inward beauty for God on the inside. And then he went to the third chapter. And he said, now the third thing you need to work on, he says, you need to know how to behave yourself in the house of God. Notice verse 15. He said in verse 14, now I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Now, Paul, what do you mean, speaking to Timothy, you need to know how to behave yourself? He's writing to a young preacher. And I guess, in other words, what he's saying is, you don't go in there and run that show. You make sure that you organize the church the way God wants it organized. You don't just pick and choose how you want things done, Timothy. You make sure that you have qualified elders. And we looked at that last Sunday evening. And now this Sunday evening we look at verses 8 throughout the rest of the chapter. And that is the second thing in organizing the church is qualified deacons. Now, before we begin looking at these verses and reading the text, there are two extremes. There's always dangers in either extreme of things. There's two extremes that often congregations go to in the offices of deacons. The one extreme is usually there are more deacons than elders in many congregations. And some groups of deacons tend to think that because of their numbers and because of their activities, they go to the extreme of thinking they should have some of the elders' authority. So as we begin looking at this lesson tonight, let's beware and be warned that there is never a time when a deacon should step out of his role of being the servant, which is that's what deacon means, is to serve, and to step into the authoritative role of an elder. But now there's the other extreme. The far other extreme is for a man or a congregation to think, well, there's no great benefit to having deacons. There is a great benefit to having deacons. If there was not a great benefit for having deacons, he would not have said, you make sure you have these organized in your congregation so you will behave yourself as you should. So there is a great need in any congregation for deacons. Just as there is a great need for elders. That is the way God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, had designed the church to be. So let's look at these passages. He begins in verse 8. Notice the word likewise. He's just given the qualifications for elders, the importance of elders. Now he's going to give the qualifications and the importance for deacons. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them be used the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. As we look at this passage, let's begin by looking at the positive qualifications. You see there in verse 8, the first positive qualification is be grave. If a man is to be a deacon, he is to be grave or to be sober. There is no place in the office of a deacon for a man that cannot take life serious, that cannot take the office of a deacon serious. It is something to take very serious and to put of great importance on this office. So as we were speaking, going to the one extreme to where we think there's no great importance in it, there shouldn't be a man like that in office. It should be a man that says this is serious, this is sober, this is something to give thought to. The second positive qualification is in verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in pure consciousness. The office of deacons should be filled by men that are spiritually convicted. They are spiritually firm in the standing on God's Word. If we could tie back to this morning's lesson, it needs to be men that are standing on the rock and building on that rock. There's no place in the office of a deacon for a man that does not take his spiritual life in serious consideration. The third positive is in the latter part of verse 10. Being found blameless. Now this is not to say that a deacon will not have any flaws. If that was the case, there never would be a deacon. But this is to say that there is not a continual circulation. It's not something where all of the time there's something negative being said about the man that wants to or is filling the role of a deacon. The other fourth positive qualification is in verse 12. Let the deacon be the husband of one wife. And I think that pretty much explains itself. And qualification number 5 is in the same verse. Ruling their children and their own house well. Now I'd like to make a point here that goes back also to the qualifications of elders. And I believe it's my father-in-law I've heard make this point, and it's so very, very true. If there is a man being considered for elder or deacon, and his own children do not think he's qualified, that should put an end to it right there. Notice in verse 5, immediately after he spoke of the children being in subjection, it says in verse 5, speaking of the elders, "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" If his own children do not respect him as their ruler in the home and say to the congregation, "And I cannot respect him as a ruler in the church," that should tell us something. So the opinion of the children is very, very important as we look at fulfilling the qualifications for elders and for deacons. Now there are just a few negative qualifications that must be considered, and we go back to verse 8. The first is not to be double-tongued. There's no place for a man that his story cannot be true, that he tells one story in one group of people and he goes over to another group of people and tells another story. There's no place for a man like that in the office of deacon. Number 2, not given to much wine. There's no place for a man that's addicted to alcohol or drugs for that matter, or anything like that, that would conflict with his spiritual life and of course his service in the office of a deacon. And number 3, the same verse, not greedy of filthy lucre. You know, when we look at these qualifications, we often first think these are simply qualifications that a man must have because that's the way God said that it should be. Now that's true. But notice and try to put this into a realistic view in your mind. Doesn't it make sense that these qualifications should be fulfilled? How many of us would respect a leader, an elder, or a deacon that we cannot trust? How many of us would want a deacon that every time we asked him to do something, he was drunk? Or he was so greedy for money that he wouldn't do anything because he always had to do other things that paid. You see, all of these qualifications are best for the church. Now notice, there is no benefit, no benefit in putting a man into office that is not qualified. It does not better that man, and as a matter of fact, it truly is a punishment to the man, because it's going to bring all kind of hardships upon him and the congregation whenever we go against God's plan. So we need to be serious and sober when we think any time in God's plan. But now the qualifications do not stop there. The second set of qualifications go to the wife. And this is believed to go back also to the elders' wives as well. So this too will go back to both elders and deacons' wives. Verse 11. Even so, must their wives, first of all, the positive, be grave, be sober, and be faithful in all things. A wife should be serious, grave, just as the husband was serious. Should be sober, be willing to think before she acts, not go out and say several things and then regret what was said, or go out and do several things and then regret what was done. But to be sober, think before we act, and then faithful in all things. What good will we have if we have men that are leading in a very faithful way and wives that come along and destroy what has been done? So these are qualifications that must be met. Now the one negative is not to be slanderers. And that too is only expected in these kind of qualifications. You know, women are powerful. Women are very powerful. Think back over the history in the Bible. Think about Adam and Eve, the power of a woman. Think back also against Samson and Delilah, the power of a woman. Think about King Herod's wife cost the life of John the Baptist. Think of how powerful Esther was to her husband. You see, the truth is that women are very powerful influences in men's lives. So God says part of the man's qualification should be that the wife is going to be a positive influence, not a negative influence. Now the beauty of this is as in any case of service. And he closes out talking about deacons by saying, when this man agrees to serve the congregation in this way, he is going to be the one that is better off. Notice verse 13 again. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So they help themselves have a more bold faith. They help themselves to be more accepted. They help themselves in all areas of the spiritual life because of their service that they give. Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus said, now in my kingdom, it's not who is on the right hand and who is on the left hand when John and James were requested by their mother. He said, it's the one that serves as the one that becomes the greatest. The reality is there's some strong, strict qualifications to be a deacon. And at the same time, it's an office of service. Now to the world would say, that's ridiculous. The world would say, how can you want someone to serve but then be so picky about who it is that serves? As we said this morning, many things seem strange in the church. But we must have faith and believe that it's all for our benefit. Here at East Gaston, I hope that we will always be the church that God wants us to be. But we're going to have to remember all of the writings that's in the Word. And as we look these past couple of weeks, we've looked at two serious, serious subjects. The subject of elders and of deacons. Let's make sure that we always hold to the pattern that's given to us. If we ever leave the pattern, we've left the pattern of the Lord's church. We've left the rock that we were to build on. Tonight, how is your pattern as an individual? How is your pattern in comparison to Jesus Christ's life? Is the life that you're living a life that you can compare to Jesus Christ and you can see that they're similar? Or is the life you're living nothing as Jesus would want it to be? If we can help you tonight, we want to. If you have already become a Christian but yet you've fallen away, we want to help you there too. If we can help in any way, won't you do so? Come as we stand and as we sing.